Today, I want us to talk about our trip in South Africa. And I tell you what, we had an incredible time. And I'm going to say from the very outset, if you've never been on a missions trip before, you need to go on missions. Start saving now. We've got about 2 to 3 trips planned already for next year. We're definitely going to Latvia. We'll definitely do I Heart Armagh, which is an incredible missions week that we do here in our city. And we are talking seriously about the Philippines. And there is serious chat about America. So we could be up to 4 missions trips next year with the possibility of even Israel by the end of the year, which will be probably less of a mission trip, more of a holiday vacation, but will also be full of Jesus. So I tell you what, you cannot have enough money, that's for sure. But I tell you, the generosity of God, when we get a dream in our hearts, it's incredible what He can do. So pray about it and get yourself on at least one of these trips. I would say next year, and if not next year, absolute must for the year after. It radically transforms you. It incredibly impacts your life. And so I want to pray today, and then we're going to share some just wonderful stories of what God did in South Africa and how I can bless you today. So Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for everybody that's tuned in. And I pray, Holy Spirit, grab our attention, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let me read John chapter 14, verse 12 to 14. And here's Jesus. He says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me," this is the condition, if you would believe in Jesus, "will do the works I have been doing." So if you believe in Jesus, you're going to do the same works as him. Raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, heal the sick, see people saved, life transformation. You'd see all of that stuff. That's the works that he was doing. "And they will do even greater things than these." Wow. You're going to do greater things because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name and I will do it. Here is my challenge from the very outset, and we're going to interweave this all the way through the message today, is that I'm conscious that a lot of our prayer requests are just about affecting and changing our lives. In other words, trying to bring us up to level, trying to bring us up to the watermark where Jesus was talking about, you're going to impact and change the world. It's about going above and beyond. You're going to do greater things than me, above and beyond. And our prayer life has to get to a point, and the lives that we live have to get to a point, because there's no point saying your prayer life's boring. It might be because your life's boring because you're just living way below the mark. You're living way below what God's called you to. So today, I'm like, almost grab a hold of your trousers, grab a hold of your socks, start to pull them up and start to say to yourself, I am made for so much more. And maybe today something's going to spark in your heart. A flame is going to start to burn. And before you know it, there's going to be a furnace that cannot be put out. And you're going to take your family, your city, your school, your university, your workplace for Jesus. And there's going to be revival wherever you go. This is what God has dreamt and planned for each and every one of our lives. Make no mistake. Because if God says, and you will do even greater things, wow, I know that not even the sky's the limit. There are no limits. So that's what we're believing for today. And guys, I want to bring us into our journey. I want to tell you some of the things that we did on our journey. And of course, if you remember, Sunday 2 weeks ago, it was the 30th of October. That's when we left to go to South Africa. And we even had some crazy things happening from the very beginning. One of them was, and let me just give you this testimony, because I tell you what, you're going to step out for the things of God. You're going to hope for plain sailing. But I'm going to tell you, there are going to be some challenges along the way. And so as we were going to South Africa, the night before, I thought, you know what, I'm just in bed. I don't need to check anybody in. If you remember, the R went back, so an extra time. And I'm lying in bed at 11:30 at night, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm all good. I'm just going to check us in, our first flight. There's no big deal. Why not? You know, we don't have to, but we might as well. It'll save us some time. We'll have less of a rush when we get to Dublin. And I check every single person in, and then I get to this problem one. And it's Josh. You know Josh, he does the video with me, he does the news. I mean, I get to Josh, and like, I know he can be a problem sometimes. But I tell you what, this one was catastrophic. I get to his name, and for whatever reason, his surname has been dropped off. And so it just says his first name and his middle name and no surname. And I'm having a heart attack at 11:30 at night on the night before, knowing that we fly out the next day. And I'm thinking about all these issues of he's not going to be able to come. It's going to break his heart. We're never going to get a chance. I'll have to buy another ticket. Like all these different things. I'm going, my head is in a swim, and I'm all over the place. And now I'm Googling. Do you ever Google when you're sick and before you know it, you realize you're going to die? And you're like, no, stop Googling. It's exactly the same when it comes to name changes on a plane. Every forum, every Google response tells you the same thing. No chance, you'll never get a change, you've lost all your money, it's never gonna happen. And it just went from bad to worse to worse. This was the start of the missions trip for me. And I tell you what, I was so tempted. At least twice I tried to wake Nikki up and try to tell her a bit of the story, because you know, it's like you just wanna get it off your chest. And she wouldn't wake up, she was extra tired, and I never genuinely have not had a worse night's sleep ever. And I've had four kids, and even that doesn't, I know it's not in comparison, because poor Nikki is the one that does most of the work, but I've never had a worse night's sleep in my life. Oh my gosh, it was incredible. An incredible night's sleep. It was the worst experience of sleep ever. And when you get in that moment of panic and anxiety, and it's late at night, and it's maybe even the middle of the night, you are not thinking straight. And when I woke up the next morning, my nerves were shred. I was like, every bit of cool that was in me is gone. Ever been there before? This was the start of the missions trip. And you know what the enemy would love to do? Is remind you and tell you that, see, this is not God. God's not in this thing. You shouldn't go. Get yourself discouraged. Cancel it. Get out of it. It's not going to work. But I tell you what, I just had to keep fighting. And so eventually, by 9:30 in the morning, after being on the call for 2 hours, I get through to this incredible lady. And she says to me, do you know what? I think your best thing is just go to the desk in the airport. They'll change it right there. And I'm like, are you serious? I've read the forums. I've read Google. I've been up half the night. I've been on the chats. Everybody says it's not happening. Everybody else on the phone calls before this said it wasn't happening. I kept phoning back over and over and over again to try to get a better person on the phone that might solve my problem. And eventually I get to this girl. And I thought to myself, I got to this moment. I got to preach in about 30 minutes. I was like, Lord, I'm just going to have to leave it now. I'm going to have to accept it. Guys, can I just say to you that the enemy wants to get you on the run, that life wants to get you on the run, that even by your own selfish ideas and even ambitions or even mistakes, they will get you on the run. What God's saying is, I just need you to stop for a minute. I just need you to stand still for a minute and allow me to move. And so let me just speak that into your heart. If the enemy has got you on the run, if life has got you on the run, if you yourself have got you on the run, take a moment and pause, take a breath, accept what's going on, and then allow the Lord to move. That's what I've begun to do. I'll tell you a long story short. I got a few different people to pray. I was still a bit nervous, anxious. I told Josh, he was like, mate, it's going to be fine. I said to him, you know what? Worst case or worst, I've checked the flights. There are other flights. We're just booking another flight. We'll take it on the chin. We'll try and get the money later. We had a whole plan worked out. I tell you what, we got to the airport. You know what they said? No big deal. I was like, what? No big deal. We get to the flight in London. The guy looks at it. He goes, no, this is not going to work. And I was like, well, in Dublin, they said no big deal. And so he calls the supervisor over. He went, boom, 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 enter, accepted, onto the plane you go. We get to South Africa. We get into Johannesburg or Joburg Airport to go, this is not going to work. This is not happening. I go to the air hostess or the girl behind the desk and said, hey, we were told it's no big deal. So she writes that on the ticket. She doesn't, not at that point, sorry. She gave us the book and the boarding pass and then told us to go to the desk. And I was like, Josh, if we've got the boarding pass, we don't even need to go to the desk. But anyway, we go over to the desk. I said to the girl at the desk, I think we've got an issue, but the girl's told me all along the way, it's no big deal. She literally wrote it on, no big deal. I tell you what, guys, be mindful that there are things that are no big deal that we're making into catastrophes. And I know God's hand was on this thing because I read enough horror stories that night before to know that many people lost out. Many people lost thousands of pounds, but we did not. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because if God is for you, who can be against you? And I'm not saying that's the get out of jail card every single time, but I'm saying this, no matter what you face, trust God more than anything else. He will bring you through. If we had to book the next ticket, we would have done it. Josh had already said, if I have to go alone to South Africa, I'm doing it. There's just something that needs to rise up in all of us, a steeliness, a resilience that says we will not be stopped because of God's force. We can do it. And as the word says right there, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for me for whatever you want, and it will be done. So that was the start. Well, let me bring you into Monday. We fly all the way to South Africa, or Sunday night, all the way to South Africa, 11-hour flight. And we get all the way there. And then we get there on the Monday night. It's late. We more or less go to bed. And then we're up early the next morning. And we get to join the YWAM team. And basically, YWAM is Youth with a Mission. We get into Musenberg, which is a beach town. It's the home of the great white shark. Literally, there are spotters, shark spotters that live on the mountain or sit in the mountain trying to look for these sharks. And this is where our base is. It's incredible. You'll have seen a video by now, or you'll see it at the end, and you'll also see some pictures. And I hope it gives you a bit of an idea what was going on. But I want to tell you, we stepped into a, must have been a 50, 60, maybe even 70 strong student-led prayer time on the Tuesday morning, and we got to lead it, and it was incredible. And we said to ourselves, what a privilege to get to come from Northern Ireland, who these guys none of us know, but we've been given special access in to be able to pray and minister to people. We broke into groups. We prayed about Latvia, which is a key country on our hearts. The nations prayed. There was people from all over the nations, Europe, Africa, Asia. We all began to pray. America, we all began to pray for Latvia, and we believed that God's hand was going to move on it. And I tell you what, the Spirit of God was alive. We broke into groups and we prayed for each other. And we began to meet some of these incredible people that have found themselves in YWAM. I met some incredible people. I met one guy, Joshua, who told me this incredible story of his grandfather, who was from a Hindu culture, who eventually met Jesus, and it radically turned his whole family around. Now guess what his dream is? To plant a YWAM base, a missionary base, just off the side of the Taj Mahal. Look it up if you've not seen it before. It's that incredible building in India. And of course, he invited us to come. I met another lady who went on our holidays one time at 25 and got a dream in her heart that she should plant and build an orphanage and a school for 40 kids. And she's done it over this last 10 years. She sacrificed her own life. Her name's Anita. Pray for her school, pray for her. And for the last 10 years, she has fed into these incredible kids and taken them from orphans to sons and daughters. And they belong to her and they belong to Jesus. And their lives have been turned around. There's something about when we take our lives and we sow them into other people, and we pour ourselves out and we radically give away what we already have in Christ, because we know he's going to give us more. And that's really the message of my heart to yours. Pour your heart out. Well, I want to tell you about Tuesday morning that we had an incredible experience. We've just got there and we meet this incredible guy called Zola, and he says to us, we're going to do some ministry on the train. And I'm thinking, ministry on the train, this is going to get exciting. And so we get on the train at Musenberg, and the goal is we're going to ride the train all the way to Cape Town, which is about a 40-50 minute ride. An incredible experience. I've done it before. And he said, along the way, what you're going to do is you're going to pray with people. You're going to encourage people. You're going to see people saved. And we're like, wow, come on, let's go. I tell you what, can I give some encouragement to our team and just let you know how ready these guys were? I never heard one piece of doubt or one nervous moment from them. They just said, let's go. Well, look, here's what happened. We got to the train station. It turned out that the train was going to be too long to come. We've been waiting for ours. So you got to go plan B when you're on missions, and we go flexible. We hire a taxi all the way into Cape Town. We pay the money. We're like, so what? We'll pay the money. We get into the park in Cape Town, and now we start going from person to person, and we're praying for people. This is less than 24 hours off the plane. And here's my team, my crack team of 9 people just going all over the place, praying for people, world changers, revivalists, you know, breakthrough, family turnaround. And we met person after person after person. And you know what? Some people said, no, I don't want it. But many people said, I do, I do, I do. We met friends. I met one guy who has connection to some friends of mine in England. Can you believe it? In the middle of Cape Town, and we're praying for each other. I encouraged him in the Lord. He was a Christian. We've kept in touch since, and I'm spurring him on in his faith. You see, God is sending us, not just as secret agents, but as public agents, to go into all the world and make a difference wherever we can. And so, where's your local park? Maybe it's time you get down to your local park and begin to pray with some people. That's what we did that day. Anyway, moving on, we get onto the train and we sit in the train. We play some music. We go to the train conductor, because you got to do the thing right. We say to the train conductor, hey, we want to pray for some people. And he says, sure, go for it. Now, what we noticed in South Africa was, and maybe it could be the same in the UK and Ireland, is that his initial response was no. But we said, hey, come on, it's going to be all right. And by the end of it, he says, I'd like you to do it. So guys, we went from carriage to carriage to carriage. I want to tell you an extraordinary story. By the end of it, person gave their life to Christ. I'm going to get Rebecca, hopefully, to share her story on this. You're going to hear about it. But she gets to pray with a woman who gives her life to Christ on a train. What an incredible reality. Can I tell you, if you're getting the train to Belfast for work, if you're getting the train to London, if you're getting the train to Manchester or Liverpool, wherever you find yourself getting the train, there are people on that train that are hopeless without Christ. And if you would take a moment, plug out the AirPods, take a moment from the Kindle, and just take a moment with some people around you and share some of your story of what God's done, I tell you what, you may be surprised of what the Lord will do through you and lives that will be turned around. Well, by the end of that day, because that was just the morning, we find ourselves in two teams. One of our teams doing muffins for the leaders, and we would go and pray for them later on that night. And the other half of our team, because we're a crack team, we're ready to go, went to the safe house. And they had this incredible moment with the ladies in the safe house. And again, you're going to hear that testimony. Well, by the end of that day, we went to a place called Manenberg. And this is one of these places where it has a bit of notoriety. It's got a bit of an infamous past or infamous kind of current identity because of just some of the craziness that goes on in there. But we were welcomed in. We got to meet some of the students there. We got to meet some of the leaders there. We got to pray with some people. And church, I want to say to you, God protected us in every form. We were very mindful. We were very conscious of where we were going to. We were very cautious about it. But at the same time, we weren't overcautious. We trusted our friends there. We trusted our supporters there. And with good wisdom and good care and prayed up in Jesus, we went into these zones and we're blessed to be there. And we got to pray with the leaders and part prophetic words. And you wouldn't have seen this team. I wish we'd have camera for all this. You'd be blown away at some of the guys praying. Jordan and Amy and Josh and Lily and Caroline and Ian and Rebecca, all just praying over people's hearts and seeing God download words into their heart, into the people's hearts that they're praying for. And my heart for them is they're going to keep doing it. And my heart for you is you would do the same. And so we find ourselves at the end of the first day, exhausted and tired and ready for a good sleep. And then the next day we go to do some more outreach. And this time we're going to meet a lady called Beth and her husband Krishna. And their ministry was going into a place called the Cape Flats, which is again a very notorious place where there's a lot of murder, there's a lot of issues. It's a colored community primarily. And so there's a lot of different issues, a lot of different tribal things. But we get to go in there and again we have this incredible time praying with some people. I mean, the night before, maybe even that morning, people were being shot, but we got to go into the safe zone. We were very aware. We had contacts in the place that were keeping us informed if anything was going down. And if it was, we were right out of there. But God protected every one of our steps. We went in. I remember that morning we go in and everyone's a wee bit hesitant, a wee bit nervous because we know it is a certain environment. And we begin to do balloon modeling with the kids. And I tell you, sometimes it's just about doing the simple things. Smiles come on their faces. We start to make some hats. We start to make some swords. Caroline is the expert. I can make a sword and a fish. Yeah, and even at that, it's probably a bit dodgy, but I can make them. But the kids loved it. And we get to spend time, we pray with people. Some of the rest of the team are praying with people. Some other people were just interacting with some people. And church, can I just say this? We met with people that we never thought we'd meet, but God had designed it. God had set it up for us. And we made ourselves available. And I want to tell you, the kingdom of God is, people are used and the kingdom of God is advanced by people that are available. If you're not available, then how can God work? He wants to work through jars of clay. He wants to work through available vessels. Make yourself available. And so we go into this crazy environment. And by the end of it, we're praying with people, talking to people, sharing our faith. And we have these moments with people that forever changed their lives. And we're going to believe changed their lives as well. By the end of it, we go from the flats, which are built in like three-story high buildings. We go out the back and we get to pray with people in the called informal settlements, which are basically like, I mean, a garden shed is probably even better than what we found at times. But we're going in right there. And you know what? Here's what Ian said. And you'll not get to hear this testimony. I'm going to give it to you from his heart. He turned around. He looked at the kids. And this is on our second day. And he turned around. He says, I know this sounds crazy, but I think these kids are happier than our kids back home. And instantly it hit our hearts. And can I just say this? It hit our hearts because we realized that more stuff and having more things doesn't automatically mean better. In fact, it could be riddled with insecurity. It could be riddled with comparison. And comparison's the thief of joy. It could be riddled with, I'm not as good as you, and jealousy and envy and malice and pride and all these things. But here's these kids that have nothing, running about in wet feet because it's rainy outside, and they haven't even got shoes on their feet or socks, and yet they seem so happy. And again, we give them some sweets, and you thought we'd give them $1 million. By the end of that, we met this incredible lady. I think her name was CCB. Love you to pray for her. And she's this lady in the middle of all this. I mean, you can only describe it as just a jungle of sin, almost a jungle of sin. And just a place where it just would feel impossible to be a Christian. And we meet this lady called CCB and we go to pray for her. And then she begins to pray for us. And it was incredible. I want to tell you, we're not just going to help. We're going to be blessed. And anytime you go out to help someone, anytime you go out to minister to someone, don't go with the heart of, I've got it, you don't. Go with the heart of, I want to share what God's done in my life. But be ready, you may get taught something in return. We went to be an encouragement to the Christians. And here was a lady in the middle of an informal settlement, in a place where you would least expect to find an incredible Christian. And there she was, shining her light strong for the things of God. Never underestimate what the Lord is doing. Never underestimate the beautiful people that the Lord has risen up in every single environment, and go and be a blessing wherever you find yourself. And so these were our first couple of days. And by the end of that day, we end up going to another ministry called Hope Town. And again, you'll see some photos on the video, and you'll see some photos online, and you might pick it out. Again, incredible organization that's trying to bring students from just no skills to skills, working through their issues, giving them practical skills, barista skills, knitting skills, art skills. And the goal is to take kids that would not get this kind of encouragement, would not get this kind of buildup, and to take them on a program and to take them through several weeks so that they're job ready and it can change their lives forever. This is the goal of the gospel, isn't it? That we will walk people through, that we'll see people raised up and come to faith in Jesus. But not just faith, but transformation in every single form. And we finished off with just a wonderful, wonderful time with a church in, it wasn't a township in a sense, but it was a township type church, which was just a local black church that was called, this is the name, Foundations of Hope. I'd love you to pray for it. We got to go to the prayer meeting, and we got to lead the prayer meeting. I tell you, the worship was unbelievable. Just this guy, the pastor led the worship with his band. They'd had an incredible worship. We got some prophetic words. One of the ladies got up and gave us a prophetic word that God's going to grow our church even more. I was like, wow. Lord, we're here to bless, and you're blessing us. And then we got to share testimonies. And this night was fun because I shared to the guys before we go, but you got to be ready to go no matter what would happen on these trips. You got to be ready to go. And so I called up Janina. She was ready to go. I called up Caroline. She was ready to go. I called up Ian. She was ready to go. And these guys poured out their best. They poured out just some testimony of what the Lord has been doing in their lives and how they give their lives to Christ. And people were blessed. And by the end of it, we got to pray with people. We got to encourage people. And again, you'll see some more photos of that online. Well, I want to go to Thursday, and Thursday we had a fun day and we got to sightsee. But can I just say this? And this is, shows you the quality of this team, but again, it shows you how God wants us to impact every single day. We went on an incredible outreach day of just going around the peninsula of Cape Town, basically going through the sites, driving, went to see the penguins, go and discover everything, try to get to Table Mountain, but it's too windy to get to the top. If you've never seen Table Mountain, Google it up, or you'll have seen it on our video. But by the end of this day, we end up stopping in for some ice cream. We want to go to Hope Town, which is the ministry we've been the day before, but we want to go to their shop where they make their crafts and stuff, and we wanted to go buy for them. And by the end of that day, can I just say this, church, and again, it's just to encourage the quality of this team, but it's to remind you of what you can do every day. By the end of that day, we had also prayed with people. We weren't off missions. We were having a rest day. We were going and seeing some sites because Cape Town's one of the greatest cities in the world. And for some people, they may never get back there. So we're having a treat day as well. And remember, this is people's holidays from work. So, I mean, everybody needs a treat, don't they? Come on. The Lord is good and he rewards those who work hard for him. So we're having our treat day. And I tell you what, let me tell you one encounter. We pray for the lady in Hope Town and she was blown away. She was in tears. But then we go to the ice cream shop and I come back to my team and I say, guys, where do you get the ice cream? They said, oh, that shop over there is incredible. I said, you pray with the lady. They're like, oh no, we never thought. I said, well, I was chatting to her. She would love prayer. Our team went back. It turned out she was a Muslim lady. She says, I really want what you have. She says, I'm not ready yet, but I really want to know more. Our team got to share with her. They got to share the gospel with her. We, there and then, she did not give her life to Christ, but we prayed with her, we encouraged her, and she was so open to the things of God. Isn't it amazing that we were just going to go for ice cream, but it turned out that that woman was looking for life. And we have life, everlasting life, because we've got Jesus. And if we have our ears open and our eyes open, we will find people who are ready and waiting for the good news of Jesus. And they may not be at the step yet to be reaped for the kingdom in terms of giving their life to Christ. But imagine this lady from a Muslim background saying, I so want what you have. I'm not ready for it just yet, but please tell me and please pray for me. And I never seen this much excitement for prayer when I said to the girl, we'll be back in 15 minutes to pray. I said, we got to finish our ice cream. But once we're finished our ice cream, we're coming back to pray. And she was excited. Church, be available. Be available, whether it be Sainsbury's, Tesco's, or wherever you find yourself, the ice cream shop, because people are looking for life. And then on Friday, was it going to be our last day in Cape Town before we flew to Durban? And again, I'll give you a quick idea what we did. We had breakfast in the morning. We did a bit of debrief time. We had some worship time. It's been a crazy week. God's done so much. But by the end of that week, we got to go to Khayelitsha, which is literally the biggest township in all of Cape Town. It's a meter square, and in that meter square, or that 1 mile square radius, there's over 1 million people in this place. It's just enormous. And some of it's incredibly dangerous, and then other areas are pretty, not too bad whatsoever. They've been really worked through. There's a lot of great leaders in them. There's a lot of good community groups in them, and they've really been turned around. But it's a place where people just come, when they come to South Africa, or come to Cape Town especially, they just find themselves fixing up a place and staying there. Or they find themselves there because it's available and there's cheap rooms. And again, it's just small houses or shacks and they're all beside each other and we get ourselves in there. And then we had one of the best treats of the whole trip. It's called a braai, or literally our barbecue. We had a barbecue, a braai in Khayelitsha, which was all the tastiest meats you could ever see. Again, you'll see a picture, all this incredible meat, pork chops, steak, all the different things covered in this incredible sauce, chicken. We get our fingers in. There's no such things as knives and forks. We get the Coke flowing. We get the juice flowing, and we literally munched through this stuff. And I tell you what, we were full. We had such a good time. But by the end of that, we got to go to this wonderful ministry with Lunga, who is one of the YWAMers in the middle of Khayelitsha. And we spent time with the kids. We prayed for their exams that were coming up that week. And guys, I want to say to you, we just went in there. We loved the kids. We were praying for a new church building for them or a new facility for them because they're outgrowing. We prayed for leaders. And by the end of it, we did the Armor of God talk, which was really important in our hearts, which we did at our kids' takeover. And by the end of it, so many kids responded to Jesus. So many kids said yes to Jesus, even for the first time or coming back to faith. And it was just our privilege to be able to come for a moment. And that whole week was the same. We just got to flash in here and flash in there and get dropped in here and dropped in there. It was our privilege because of the friends and leaders that we have there. And we got these wonderful opportunities. And when we got the opportunities, we seized them. And you know what the heart of that first week was? There's nothing that God can't do. I remember one of the team turned around, Amy, and she says, you know what, by Wednesday, I was starting to feel a bit grumpy. And we're like, really? And she's like, yeah, I'm always a bit grumpy in the mornings, went back home. But this time I prayed and God took it away. I said, what did you do the next day? She says, I prayed again. God, don't allow me to be grumpy. I want to be effective for the things of God today. And this is what this team was learning. This is what we were all learning. If we will advance the kingdom, God will supply every one of our needs. If we're not looking to advance the kingdom, but just advance our own lives, we may find that some of our prayers get answers and some he just says no to because he doesn't agree with what we're asking for, given the attitude of our hearts. But if our hearts are to advance the kingdom, whether it be in our workplace, in our family, or wherever we find ourselves, get ready for God to supply every one of our needs. Okay, let me move on quickly because I know time is moving. Saturday, we fly out really early in the morning, 6 a.m. flight. We get into Durban at 8 a.m. Wow, the wall of heat was unbelievable. It must have been about 90% humidity, 30 degrees. It was wonderful, but we had to drive away from the coast. We drove about 2 hours into the Midlands, into a place called Howick, which is the city that we stayed in, about 50,000 people in the city, and we connected with a church called Oasis. And they are wonderful friends of ours that have been multiple times to us. I've been personally one or two times there, but it's the first time I got to preach, and it was a wonderful privilege the next day. And it was the first time we got to take a team there and really have a 4 or 5 day impact. We had taken a smaller team before and had a couple of day impact, but this time we're having a week long impact. And they had it all set up for us. And when we got there on the Saturday, we had another braai on Saturday evening. And it turned out, as if by chance, God's in the details of everything, South Africa were playing Ireland rugby team. And guess what? We beat those South Africans. They were not happy. But we had just so much fun connecting with the church, praying with people, encouraging people, and they made us a feast. And we just cannot tell you how much we had such a good time connecting with our new friends and family. And this time was a tiny bit of an extra stretch because up until this point, we'd all stayed together and now everybody's going individually to host families. And I knew guys were a bit nervous, but you know what? Sometimes you've got to step out of our comfort zone even more to allow God to do something even more in our lives. So the next day we did church. I got the privilege of sharing and speaking. It was a wonderful time. So many people, literally half half of the church, if not more of the church, came up for prayer at the end, not because of me, but because of how the Holy Spirit was moving. And then our team got to minister and pray. And I tell you what, the words that our team was pouring out were just so good. And people were coming back with so much encouragement going, that was perfect. That was spot on. That really spoke to me. And it was absolutely brilliant. By the end of that Sunday, we had prayed with so many people. Our other team, half the team, had led the kids ministry. They had prayed with the kids. They'd had a wonderful time with the kids. And it just felt like God was being glorified in every form and in every way. That afternoon, we went and hung out, me and Ian, with some of the leaders, while the young adults guys, the rest of our team, went and hung out with the young adults of the church. And just bonds were being built that I believe are going to last generations. Because here's the thing about the kingdom of God. There are brothers and sisters of yours all over the world. All over the world. And sometimes you need to go to the world, not only to get the Father's heart, but to connect with your brothers and sisters and remind yourself you're part of a bigger family. And guess what it does? It lifts off our small perspective. It lifts off our small thinking. And it reminds us, I'm not in this alone anymore. I've got friends and family all over the world. And again, another encouragement of why you've got to come on missions. Well, that week, we just went for it. And we had an incredible time that week. And I'm going to tell you some of the things we did. The next morning, it was absolutely flat out. We went and had a meeting with the operations team. The rest of the guys went and did some classrooms. Caroline and her team, they did one classroom after another classroom after another classroom, teaching the kids about the armor of God. We got to pray with the staff and do some training time with the staff. We got to talk to the operations team. We got to talk to the logistics team. And we just got to really impart the wisdom of God, which He has blessed us with here in this place. And we went to pour it out there. And of course, along the way, we got blessed as well. And then by that afternoon, we got to do some outreaches again, and we got to minister to some people. Rebecca, she ended up going to the coffee shop or the cafe, Legacy Cafe over there, which she got to train because Rebecca is this incredible baker, and she'd be able to show them some of her treats and cookies and all the good things that she bakes. And so it was really one of those trips where when we got to Oasis, we just poured out our skills. Josh went to the media team. I went and helped out the operations guy with some of the software. Rebecca went into the bakery side of things and taught the guys. Janina, who was there, went into the health and beauty side of things, and she was training up the guys. We just went to be a blessing. And I think the heart of why I'm sharing this is because you got to understand, missions is not just one format. The missions that we go on, God says, what's the talents and abilities that you've got? Go and pour them out into people's lives and watch how people are going to be encouraged and set free. We ended up getting to do some hospital ministry at the end of that day. And I want to tell you a quick testimony of this. Again, when things don't go right, we went to go to the hospital that night, and it just didn't work out for us. We missed the opening hours. And so we decided, you know what, we'll pray for the lady right there and then. And so Jordan got to pray for this lady. And it's the first time she'd ever prayed with someone. She did it right there. The receptionist in the hospital, she prayed for them. Imagine. Might as well have been Craigavon Hospital. What does it matter? Same place. And then we go around the corner and we spot the chapel. And we say to ourselves, let's go in there and pray. Well, before you know it, we get to pray with these three nurses. And God starts to download these incredible prophetic words of these ladies have been bullied in work. It turns out they were. We got to pray with them and pardon them. There was tears flowing. There was joy flowing. And by the end of it, we said, God's had us here for such a time as this. I want to tell you, our best laid plans sometimes get spoiled for God's plans. And it turns out way better than we can expect. So we went to pray for the patients, but God said no, and we ended up praying for the nurses and the administration staff. Isn't that how God works sometimes? I want to tell you, wherever you find yourself, be a blessing. Wherever you find yourself, go and do what God has called you to do. And so we end up with our team that night, and we go back to our host families. We're praying for them, encouraging them. And then the next day, it's chock-a-block again. We get to go to the Dream Center. I want to tell you about this place. Dream Center is run by Ray and his wife Eunice over in Hawick in South Africa. And the Dream Center is really the idea of, let's take people, they come for a one-month course, they pay a small amount, because sometimes a small amount just puts your heart into something, because you know if you don't, you won't value it. And then for that 1 month, they learn these incredible skills, whether it be beauty skills or barista skills or life skills or you know educational skills or writing a CV, just all the different skills you might need for certain areas of life. And by the end of it, 50% of the students that have been through that program have all got jobs. How good is that? In a country where it's so hard to get a job, in a country where it's so hard to upskill once you are born into certain environments and locations, here's the Dream Center. Standing in the the middle again of the enemy's playground, saying, come to us. We will not only upskill you in the things of life, but we will reveal the things of the kingdom. So we got to share with the students. We got to pray with them. I tell you what, we went into a prayer time or a discussion time where it was, we split into small groups and went an hour with each group in the individual rooms. And our team all came back and said, hey, that felt like 5 minutes. See, sometimes when the power of God's all over something, what time just speeds up. Time just becomes like, well, was that an hour? It felt like 5 minutes. And God just begins to anoint our conversations. And I tell you what, it just began to flow. And we're praying now automatically. We're given words automatically. And people's hearts and lives are being turned around. And I want to say this, church, there are people around us that we need to engage with, whether it be in church, our families, or in the workplace, or just in every general day life. And if we could impart some of the presence and power and life of Jesus into them, their lives will be forever changed. We met kids there that were saved. We met kids that weren't saved. We pleaded with them to give their lives to Jesus, and then we had to leave it with them. We prayed with some people. We give wonder, we give words and dreams and visions of their future, and we said, we believe God wants to do this for you. And then we trust that the Lord will grow that seed and will plant something deep into their hearts, and that they will come full circle and they will rise up in the things of God for Him. But I tell you, when you're in these places, you realize, without Christ, what is there? And yes, we may find ourselves, for a lot of us, in better environments and in a better country, say, with better resources and better this and better that. But again, the statement is still true. Without Christ, what have we really got? With Jesus, suddenly life becomes real and we get to impart and be a blessing to the people around us. Okay, very quickly, we end up going to a township that evening. We saw another three ladies give their life to Christ. Ian had an unbelievable time seeing three ladies giving their lives to Christ. Right in the middle of the township, we prayed with people that were getting healed. We only got to go for 45 minutes, and this township was so tough because we're going into the countryside. It was literally going into a field, and people have these different wee pop-up shacks, and it's wet, and it's cold, and it's damp. And you say to yourself, man, this is not a way to live. But people were living there, and we brought hope, and we brought life, and we brought love. We played with the kids. We shared the good news of the gospel, and Jesus' name was lifted up, and people's lives were forever changed. This is the way of the kingdom. Well, that night, we got to go to their life groups. In Oasis, they call them comms group. We had a wonderful time. The group that I got to go to was the young adults. It felt like we broke ground. It felt like dreams were released in people's hearts. It felt like something had broken in the kids' heart and the young adults' hearts, and that they were never going to be the same again. And I asked you to pray for them. And then Wednesday, we get to do more again staff devotionals. We get to go do some training with the staff. We get to pray with the different teams of the church. We get to pray with the different teams of Love Hack and all the different ministries. And then we get to lead their prayer time. And after that, again, we get to go on another treat. And this time we go to Safari. And we got an overnight stay at a Safari. It was incredible. I mean, it just was supreme luxury. But even in those moments, we're mindful there are people here, people there. And when we're on the trip, we were sharing our faith with the guy who drove us. We were sharing our faith with the lady who worked in the place, and turned out she was a Christian as well. She even did a discount for us. The ticket price should have been way dearer. She knocked like a few £100 off our ticket. She didn't even know. She made a mistake, but by the end of it, she says, I'm so glad, because you guys are so worth it, given the work that you're doing. See, when God's in something, He's working all things together for good. All things together for good. And when we got back, on the Thursday, and we stepped into another prayer time, which was awesome. And then we went back to our host's house. But I want to tell you about our last morning there. It was a special morning. On the Friday morning, we had to leave early by 10, 11 o'clock to go to the airport. But in South Africa, they're up at 5, 6 in the morning. So we've still half a day to do something. Well, we get to go to the clinic. We go to, basically, it's like the health center. And the guy said to us, we can go in and we can pray. And by this stage, I just felt like we're so bold in the things of God. We get to go to the health center. We ask for permission from the administrator or whoever ran the health center. And they said, sure, come on in. I want to tell you guys, we get into the waiting area, like just the one that you'd imagine at home. It felt exactly the same. It's about 20 people in there. We prayed and prophesied with them outside the building. Now they've got in, they get in and waves of 20 or something like that. Josh goes up, bold as a lion, shares the gospel with them. Then he hands over to me. I get up, share a bit more of the gospel, and then I ask to pray with the people. And by the end of that day, we were singing in the waiting room. We were sharing the gospel in the waiting room. We were praying for people in the waiting room. We're giving words in the waiting room. And then we go all around the building, because there was a few outside buildings. We start praying with people. And by the end of that day, Josh gets to lead another young guy to Christ. I tell you, church, there are no limits to what God wants to do with us if we would simply make ourselves available and we'd start to tune into heaven's call and we start to tune into what the Lord has got for us. We got ourselves all the way back home. There are many more stories, but time's going to beat us. And I know what it's like. Sometimes you gotta know when to stop. I want to leave you wanting more rather than going, will he ever give up? I just pray that these testimonies are challenging your heart. I pray these testimonies are bringing breakthrough and transformation. And I pray that something is sparking in your heart that says, God, would you do that through me? And I want to tell you guys, he wants to do it through you. Just be bold and go and allow the Holy Spirit to move you. So I'm going to pray. I want to pray if you don't know Jesus. We saw numerous people give their lives to Christ this last 2 weeks. I want to believe the same for you. It's very simply, put your trust in Jesus. He takes away your sins. If he doesn't, your sins will eventually lead you to hell because you have to be perfect to go to heaven. And unless you have the blood of Christ, unless you have the forgiveness of Jesus, then you'll never make it to heaven. But if you know Jesus, then your sins are forgiven. You're given a brand new start. And when you pass from this life to the next, you find yourself in heaven with Jesus forevermore. I want to believe that for you today. If you need Jesus, we're going to say yes in a minute. And if you do know Jesus, then we're going to believe that the Holy Spirit is going to grab your heart and charge you to go forward. So come on, can we pray? Lord, I thank you today for your goodness. And I pray, Lord, for those that are searching and those that are thinking, is God, what's going on? And I pray, Holy Spirit, that right now they would say yes to you. I believe right now, some people right now know they need to say yes to Jesus. You're either far from him or you've never known him. But I say right now, give your life to him. Get right with God. And right in that moment, he comes and he takes away our sins. He gives us a brand new start. We become a new creation in him. And we know our eternal destination is set as heaven. Lord, I pray for anyone who needs you right now will be bold to do it. And Lord, I pray for everybody else. I pray, Holy Spirit, come on. I ask you to come and empower us and fill us and overflow us because we are here to transform nations. We are here to make a difference in our communities. And I ask you with boldness, God, with the power of the Spirit, you would call us out with boldness, with humility, and with confidence in the things of God because we know we're here to do greater things. And so I speak it out, Lord. Greater things in you because you said it and we're following after you and we're asking. And if we ask anything in your name, it'll be done for the glory of our Father. So I pray, Holy Spirit, anoint every heart, encourage every person, challenge us to move forward in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.